And that is true, isn't it? One day, we might not understand it here. We might not understand it now. But one day, we will understand it better by and by. In fact, there's an old quote from Vance Havner that says, God writes over some of our days, we'll explain later. And we all have those days, don't we, where we just wonder what on earth is going on. And well, we just need to take assurance that one day God will explain that. And as you're finding your seat, I'm going to invite you to find your place in two different passages this morning. The first being 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And then Philippians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. We'll be there for the first portion of the message this morning. And then we'll, for the closing portion, find our way to Philippians chapter number 4. I originally had a different message planned for this morning. We were going to be looking at the life of Enoch and talking about how we all need a testimony. And how that testimony, there needs to be a test of that testimony. And we kind of started looking at that a couple Wednesday nights ago. And then this past Wednesday night, we kind of looked at it from another angle. And I was eventually going to bring it to a close this morning. But then this past week, I was just sitting there on dialysis and doing a little bit of reading, doing a little bit of thinking. And I had this thought that as I was looking around at everybody else that was there on dialysis with me at the time, I had this thought that, you know, we all have our own stuff that we're dealing with, don't we? We could probably sit here all day and talk about the week that we had, the busyness, the things that went right, the things that should have went right but didn't go right, and the things that just plain went wrong. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about that, about how we all have stuff. And I got to thinking that life sometimes has a way of just kind of piling on. Kind of like a, you know, I joke about, you know, my office and some things at home and how that, you know, sometimes I have what is referred to as a piling system where I can have things scattered around, but I know where everything is. If I need the references, I know where it is. But life also has its own piling system. Sometimes life just has a way of piling on. And, you know, sometimes you ever notice that life rarely gives us just one problem at a time. I mean, it would be nice, you know, if just one thing came our way and we could deal with that. But often life gives us more than one problem at a time. It gives you a bundle of stuff all at once. And, you know, we need to be honest this morning. Life is, it's messy. And every one of us here today, myself included, all of us here has to deal with stuff. Every one of us here this morning, we have bills, we have health issues, we have marriage, we have kids, we have church responsibilities, we have work stress, we have community needs, we have even our dogs at home. There's never a shortage of stuff. And, you know, sometimes it feels like, you know, we're juggling chainsaws while walking a tightrope. And just one wrong step and one of those chainsaws is going to come down the wrong side up, and it's just going to take our head off, and we're going to be out of the game for a little bit longer than we thought we would be. And we often say, and listen, I'm guilty of this, Mandy is guilty of this, and you're probably guilty of this, because what do we often say? We say, well, you know what? If we can just get past this week, if we can just get past this week, next week will be easier. Next week will be quieter. Next week won't have as much going on. But then guess what happens? Next week comes. And next week is just as busy. Next week is just as hectic. And next week just has as much stuff. There's just more stuff. Years ago, a man wrote a book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And the subtitle said, it's all small stuff. It's all small stuff. But for us, the stuff doesn't feel small. Health issues don't feel small. Financial burdens don't feel small. The loss of a loved one doesn't feel small. And to us, what somebody else might say, oh, well, that's just small potatoes. That's just the small stuff. To us, it is not so small. A young preacher once asked an older Christian, when does it get easier? And the older Christian replied, not in this life, but it does get sweeter when you learn to lean on Jesus in the middle of the stuff. It does get sweeter when you learn to lean on Jesus in the middle of the stuff. And as with anything that we deal with, and no matter what it is we deal with, God's word always has the answer. And God's word shows us how we can deal with life's stuff. And to deal with it in a way that can bring to us peace and not panic. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's word shows us that we're not the first ones to be overloaded. We're not the first ones to have stuff piled on top of us. And the good news is we won't be the last to be overloaded. We won't be the last to have stuff thrown on us. And if anyone had stuff to deal with, it was Paul. And so you're there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's begin actually at verse number 16. Verse number 16. The Bible says this, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. I'm starting to get a sense that Paul was in peril, and in peril quite often. Verse number 27, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Of course, here in 2 Corinthians, we find the church at Corinth. Corinth, of course, was a wealthy, it was a proud city, but it was also an immoral city. It could be said that it was the Las Vegas of the ancient world. And you had false teachers that had infiltrated the church boasting about their qualifications. So here comes the Apostle Paul to defend his apostleship, reluctantly listed his sufferings. And he does so not to brag, but to show that true ministry is marked by endurance. It's marked by ease. His resume was not one of degrees. His resume was not one of titles. His degree was not one of wealth, but of scars and of tears and of burdens. If anybody had some stuff to deal with, it was the Apostle Paul. And let's look at some of the stuff he had to deal with. First, we see Paul's physical stuff. Notice there verses 23 and through 25. Verses 23 through 25, the Bible says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths off. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I have been in the deep." And so we see Paul, he says here that he had laborers more abundant. In other words, the ministry was constant. He said he had stripes above measure. In other words, he was beaten beyond count. He lost count of how many times he was beaten. He says he was in prisons more frequent. He was jailed for the gospel. He talks about deaths off. He was constantly near execution. He was constantly close to having his life snuffed out. He was constantly close to losing his life for the gospel's sake. He says there, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved one." For those that need to know what that is, that's 195 lashes total. He was beaten 195 times. He says, "Thrice was I beaten with rods." That would be Roman justice. In Acts chapter 14, when he was at Listeria, he says, "Once was I stoned." Now listen, this morning, you and I can say we know of physical problems. Some here deal with chronic pain. Some deal with fatigue, dialysis. We know something of physical burdens. And Paul reminds us here that God still uses broken vessels. He still uses those in spite of the physical burdens you carry. God can and will still use you if you will allow Him to use you. And so we see Paul's physical stuff with them. We see Paul's circumstantial stuff. We see his circumstantial stuff. Look there, verse number 26. Verse number 26, the Bible says, "In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." We see there, he says, "in journeyings often." He had to go, and his travel was a dangerous type of travel. He had no hospitals, no comfort. He talks about being in perils of waters and of robbers and of Jews and of Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, of the sea, in the false brethren, of even those who were his brethren, all of them coming against him. And listen, here's the thing he had to realize. All of them were out of his control. All of them, he just had to say, okay, God, you have to be in control of these things. And listen, this morning, all of us here this morning, our perils look different. You might be facing something that I'm not facing this morning. I might be facing something this morning that you might not be facing this morning. And each of us, our perils look different. Financial stress, financial uncertainty, community responsibilities, strained schedules, critics at work, critics in the ministry. We all have our different perils, but here's the lesson. You cannot control what comes against you, but you can control who you run to when they do come against you. And so your perils come. You can't control them, but you can go to the one who can control them. You can go to the Lord. But then thirdly, we see Paul's emotional and spiritual stuff. Paul's emotional and spiritual stuff. Look there, verses 27 and 28. Verses 27 and 28. The Bible says there, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. Paul here in verses 27 and 28 talks about weariness and painfulness, just a sheer exhaustion. He talks about watchings often. That means sleepless nights of worry and of prayer. Hunger and thirst. Cold and nakedness. That means that he had some real lacking in his life. And then the climax. He says, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You have to remember here, Paul was an apostle. He was acting as the pastor of this church in Corinth. And so he lists, he says, all these things that I have to deal with. And then he says, and not counting all of the things I deal with outside of the church, but then the care of the church. And so on top of everything he faced outside of the church, he also had the church that he had to worry about. That Greek word, care, merimena, is the same word that we're going to look at in Philippians chapter number 4. It means be careful for nothing. It means being pulled in many directions. Paul was not only bearing the weight of things outside, but he was also bearing the weight of shepherding the people, of shepherding the flock of God. We, like Paul this morning, we can know and understand what it's like to be stretched thin between family and ministry and health and daily demands. The Apostle Paul, he lived that life too. But here's the good news. Paul didn't just describe his stuff. He didn't just have a woe is me pity party and look at everything that is piled on me. No, but he also not only described the stuff, but he also gave the remedy for the stuff. He also gave the remedy for the stuff. Look, if you would, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And notice there, if you would, verses 6 and 7. Or let's begin verse number 5. Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. The Bible says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Again, if anybody had stuff, it was the Apostle Paul. And here in Philippians, he now gives us the remedy for dealing with the stuff, how we can deal with the stuff of life. And what's interesting about this remedy in Philippians is that Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison in Rome. And so in Corinthians, he says, here's all the stuff I dealt with. In Corinthians, he talks about being in prison. Well, here in Philippians, this is one of those times he found himself in prison sometime around AD 60 to 62. And Philippi was a Roman colony in Macedonia. It was a proud Roman city where Paul planted one of his most beloved churches back in Acts chapter number 16. And even the church itself had its own stuff to deal with. Go back, if you would, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Because the church here, it had to deal with persecution from outside of the church. Philippians chapter 1, verses 28 through 30. The Bible says, "And in nothing, terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same comfort which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me." But not only did it have persecution from without, it had division from within. Look chapter number 4. Chapter number 4, verse number 3. Or verse number 2. The Bible says, "I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women, which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." And then they also had to deal with the temptations of materialism. Look there at chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." And so Paul, he had his own stuff to deal with. The church, it had its own stuff to deal with. Persecution, division, materialism. And yet, despite all the stuff, Paul writes about joy more than a dozen times in this short letter to the church at Philippi. In the four short chapters, he writes about joy more than a dozen times. And I believe this morning that shows us something amazing. And that shows us that joy and peace are not the absence of problems, but the presence of Christ. The joy and peace does not mean all of a sudden you have no more problems. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of them, even despite all the problems, even despite all the stuff, you can still have joy. You can still find yourself joyful at what God is doing in your life. And so we see here what the remedy is. Notice there, Philippians chapter 4. Number one, don't let stuff divide you. Don't let stuff divide you. Notice what he says, verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be anxious. Don't be pulled apart. Listen, worry, if we allow it to, can divide our mind. We can think about bills this way. We can think about family this way. We can think about ministry this way. We can think about health this way. And before you know it, our mind is going in every other different direction, except where it needs to be, and that is stayed focused on Christ and Christ alone. And that's what Paul means here. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't let the worry divide your mind. Don't let the worry take your mind off of Christ. Be careful for nothing. But then he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So number one, don't let the stuff divide you. But then secondly, take that stuff, get it all into one nice little basket, and then turn that stuff into prayer. And he gives us three types of prayers here in verse number 6. Number one, he says, but in everything by prayer. That's a general communication between me, you, and God, or between you and God, between me and God. And then he says, by prayer and supplication. That word supplication means, okay, after your general communication, well, now you bring specific needs before God. And then he says, he ends it, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, gratitude, even before the answer comes. Gratitude, even before the answer comes. And what Paul is saying here is just very simply, don't just say, Lord, help me with this stuff. Be specific. Name what it is you're carrying. Don't let the stuff divide you. Turn stuff into prayer. Number three, unload stuff at his feet. Notice last part of verse number 6 there. He says, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. Listen, this morning, God already knows what you have need of before you ever ask. But he still wants you to bring it to him. Now, it's like that child who has a broken toy, and it's his favorite toy, but he knows if he just gets it to dad, dad can fix it. And so he takes that broken toy and he brings it to dad, and he looks at dad and he says, hey, daddy, can you fix this? And daddy looks at the toy and he says, yes, son, I can fix that. And listen, this morning, that's what God wants us to do with our stuff. He wants us to bring our stuff to him and say, God, can you fix this? And guess what? God says, yes, my child, I can fix that. And he's just waiting for you to bring it to him. Unload the stuff at his feet. And then fourthly and finally this morning, receive his peace in the stuff. Receive his peace in the stuff. Notice verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That Greek word for peace, phorario, means to guard like soldiers. Again, God's peace is not the absence of stuff, but it's his presence in the middle of it. I want you to, as we get ready to close this morning, picture you're carrying a backpack. Every time I come to church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, I have my backpack. I have my Bible, I have my iPad, I have mail and different paperwork for the church and different things I have to bring over. Some other times I really stuff a lot of things in there. And sometimes I carry it over. Sometimes Mandy will take it and carry it over for me. And I'm used to it, you know, because I'm used to what my stuff feels like. But Mandy will pick up the book bag and she'll say, what on earth do you have in here, bricks? Well, that's what I want you to picture. I want you to picture that you're carrying a book bag with bricks this morning. And each problem is a brick. Health, family, ministry, finances, community, dogs, cats, birds. Eventually, you add enough bricks to that book bag. You add enough stuff to that book bag. And eventually, you're going to be hunched over as you're carrying it. But Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And listen, Jesus, he doesn't always remove the backpack. He doesn't always remove the bricks. But he does give strength to carry it. And sometimes, just sometimes, he doesn't just allow us to carry the backpack, but sometimes he carries us along with the backpack. Psalm 55:12, the Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Isaiah 26:11, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We all deal and have our own stuff to deal with. Now, we have to be very careful because you go on, you put on the TV and you listen to some of these prosperity teachers. And some of these prosperity preachers, they'll teach you that if you're suffering, well, that means you're out of God's will. Paul's testimony destroys that lie because he was in God's will and he still suffered. And you need to understand this morning, you can be in God's will this morning and you can still have trials and tribulations and heartaches and sorrows, and you can still have stuff of life. But the measure of faith is not the absence of stuff, but it's the presence of Christ through the stuff. So here's the good news this morning. You're going to leave church today. You're going to get ready for work tomorrow. And guess what? The stuff is still going to be there. The stuff is still going to remain. But so does the Savior. And listen, this morning, Paul didn't hide his scars. He embraced them as proof of God's sustaining grace. And listen, this morning, you and I will always have the stuff. We'll have the scars of the stuff. But we will also always have a Savior who is greater than the stuff. And it's going to be His grace that sustains us. It's going to be His grace that is sufficient. It's going to be His peace that is guarded. And it is going to be His strength that is enough. And so this morning you have some stuff. Well, this morning you can come and lay them. You can lay that stuff at the feet of your Savior and ask for His help to carry it when it seems too heavy for you yourself to carry by yourself. His grace is sufficient. His peace is guarding. And His strength is enough. The stuff remains, but so does the Savior. Rely on Him today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together to our feet.